Hi, my name is Gamal Abdel Nasser, and I'm the grandson of the late Gamal Abdel Nasser, who was leader of the Egyptian Revolution and the second president of the Arab Republic of Egypt. Abdel Nasser was a man who stood firm against colonialism and foreign domination and sought to find partners who respected Egypt's sovereignty. One of those partners was the Soviet Union. Egyptian and Soviet relations began to rise to its prominent height after Egypt failed to obtain an arms deal agreement with the United States and therefore negotiated and concluded an arms deal on fair and favorable terms with Czechoslovakia, then an important ally of the Soviet Union. The event triggered a strain between Egypt and Western countries and brought closer relations between Egypt and the Soviet Union. After the 1956 aggression, however, it had become clear to Egypt and the world, including the Soviet Union, that the United States, with its Israeli proxy, are interested in the region to inherit the British Empire, the region for its riches, be it land, waterways, fossil fuels, or even gold. It was perhaps this threat of inherited Western expansionism, among other reasons, that brought the Egyptian and Soviet relations closer and on mutual understanding and cooperation. As the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union prolonged, and the two superpowers of the time drifted apart culturally and civically, we could see an arms and technological race take place between the two powers. And as Egypt is modernizing and investing domestically in technology and manufacturing facilities, while facing a heavily US-backed Israeli military stacking up inventory, a need is rising for heavier industrialization and bigger and better defense equipment in Egypt. Soon, the Soviet Union was heavily involved in Egypt's infrastructure construction and in the regular shipment of defense equipment. Egyptian-Russian relations have been strong prior to the 1952 revolution, had peaked throughout the 1950s and 60s, had stalled throughout the remaining half of the 20th century, only to come back strong throughout the first quarter of the 21st century. There seems to be a mutual respect for the national independence of each nation on all matters, without preconditioned dealings and unilaterally founded agendas. I believe it is on this dialogue, in an effort to understand and bring closer the opposing worldviews of nations, as well as engaging in fair and economic, industrial, or other collaborations, that governments can have better and growing relations for many generations to come. Thank you. And see you next time on RT.